This morning we're going to carry on with our series. So we've been looking at relationships. So in the first week we looked at premarital relationships, we looked at singles, and after that we looked at how does one pick who they're going to get married to. Last week we started looking at the Christian husband, and I made a number of points there. I think after the service I got I got some looks from the men, but no problem. So we looked at that last week. We looked at the fact that the role of the Christian husband is undervalued in popular culture. When you talk about being a husband, it's not something that a lot of people aspire to be, you know, good husbands. You know, if you ask a teenager now, they will tell you they want to be like this artist. They won't be like that. If you now ask them, do you want to be a good husband? They're like, what does that mean? So it's not something that's really valued in pop culture, but we saw that God really values the normal, everyday working guy. No big show. He's not a superstar, and he's just going to work on a daily basis, providing for his family. We said God really values that above maybe the person who is so famous and so on and so forth. So God holds that role in high esteem. I also mentioned that it's not an easy role at all to be a husband. It's quite a difficult one. And I said God doesn't expect us to do it on our own, and that he has given us, we have help available from him, and he wants us to turn to him and not just depend on our own abilities, so that he can really help us with that. The other thing we looked at was the fact that from a provisional point of view, the Christian husband is responsible for providing for his family, you know, providing a place to live, so on and so forth. So we distinguished between responsibility and the actual doing of it. So I mentioned that the husband is responsible, although his wife or spouse can help financially, but it's not something that the man just sits back and says, you know, woman, you pay everything. No, the man's responsible. So that's where we stopped last week. This week, we're going to continue with the Christian husband. I'll try and get through as much as I can today. If not, we'll just end it where I get to. So I have a number of points to discuss this morning about the Christian husband still. The first one I want to discuss is the fact that as a Christian husband, one has a responsibility to provide leadership for the family. So for a husband, it shouldn't just be that, you know, that husband just wakes up and it's fine. He goes to work, provides for his family, but I believe that for a husband and particularly a father, one should, as a Christian father or husband, one should sit back and say, okay, these children that God has given me, what is their future going to be like? What do I see God doing with them? Or even on a more natural side, what are they good at? What can I help them to develop in? So it's not just I'm awake this morning and that's it. No, it's providing leadership for the family as well. Now, what this means for the Christian husband is this. I believe that for the Christian husband, God gives the ability to be able to think ahead and to look ahead into the future for one's family, for one's wife, for one's children. So God gives us that ability. So it shouldn't be that one's children are looking for direction in terms of what their lives should be, and that direction is not from you. They're getting direction from their friends, they're getting direction from their teachers, which is fine. But really, the father, the Christian husband, is responsible for the future direction of his kid, of his children. So God will reveal that to you, and even if, you know, it doesn't happen that way, one has to think into the future and provide leadership for the home. What are we going to do in this home? You should be the person that, you know, has that vision for the family. So we looked at First Timothy chapter 3. No, we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4. And the Bible tells us something about the man managing his home. And are we there? 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 4. He says, using it as one of the qualifications for an office in the church. So last week I mentioned that God takes the role of the Christian husband so makes it, it's so valuable that he uses it as a criteria. So for example, if one says to be a president of a country, you need to have done this, 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 and that. For God's highest office, he looks at the role of the Christian husband very, very much, holds it in very high regard. And he says here that he must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner that is worthy of respect. So the Bible is saying here that the husband is responsible for ensuring that he manages his family. He plans ahead for them. He sees, he gives direction, obviously with his wife, but the sole responsibility lies on the husband to provide that vision and that, and to think for the future. Do you understand? For those, for, you know, for the family. So the Christian husband provides that leadership. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. Now, the next thing I want to look at is this. And this one is a slightly tough one, but I'll go through it in a lot of detail. The Christian husband should love his wife. The Christian husband should love his wife. Now, I'm going to go through a number of things just to explain what I mean by that. I suspect that we've heard that a number of times, you know, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. But what does that really mean when the Bible says that the husband should love his wife? Now, if we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, I'm going to make a distinguishing point here. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this is saying that the husband should love his wife. Now, what does that really mean when the Bible says the husband should love his wife? I want to make a distinction here that as a husband, you might not like your wife all the time, but you will love her all the time. Do you get that? Some people are saying true. Now, what that means is that you might wake up one morning and you look at your wife and you're like, oh, my goodness. Or she annoys you. Or vice versa, you annoy her. At that point, you might feel like, you know what? I don't even want to see you for another 2 days. For whatever. So we have to distinguish between what it means to like someone and what it means to love someone. So for example, let's say you've got a child and that child is like 3 years old and you have sown your, you know, you're going to a special wedding. And, you know, someone from the CFT church has made you a nice dress. You know, she's designed it for you and she's handed it to you. And the next morning, your husband is there and you iron that thing, you know, from morning till night and say, you know, husband, this is what now. Husband, don't come near this, my dress. And you're all dressed up and the kids are, and you have this child that's going. And everybody's phoning you, selfied yourself and all that. Ooh, I'm looking really nice. And you're about to go into the car and you pick up your child. And your child just goes, mama, mama. No, they'll be speaking properly at three or almost. Oh, mama, mama. And they just hug you. And they have just been eating a whole box of chocolates, Christmas chocolate that you hid in the bathroom. Sorry, you hid in the room. And they have colored your white dress in whole chocolate. Is like a horror story to some of you women, the way I'm looking at your faces. Now, at that point, the emotions you have towards that child might not be love. At that point, you're like, you know what? I just want to. So what am I saying? But you still love them. At the end, you know, whatever, just, and you carry on. So what I'm saying is that when the Bible says love your wife's husband, it doesn't mean you're going to like them all the time, because like, some people are laughing. That's why I say something funny. You're not always going to be in a position where you are, you like them at that point. But why are the women laughing so much? But love supersedes that. Do you understand? So, what is love in this context when the Bible is saying love your wife? Now, there's the romantic love that the husband has for his wife. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the kind of love that God wants the husband to have for the wife, even if you don't feel like doing it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's look at verses 4 to 7. So what does it mean to love your wife? Why is God saying that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. So it means if you wake up in the morning, or maybe your wife does something, you remember that, wow, I love my wife, but you're really angry or whatever. God says you still love her all the same, and you put it into action. So it says, be patient. It says, be kind, even if you want to be unkind. You make the choice to be kind. It says, do not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. This is love. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. So God is saying, irrespective of how you feel as a husband, love your wife. And it's this. Do you understand? So, like I said, you won't always like your wife, but the love is always there, and you put your love into action as you do this. Now, the other thing is this. The Bible now says, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 to 29. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 28 to 29. Talking about the husband's hair still. It says, in the same way, husbands, you ought to love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ loves the church. Now, what is the scripture telling us here? The scripture is telling us two things. It's saying, husbands, love your wives, so on and so forth. But the point he's saying here is this, that husbands, don't hate your wives. Now you're saying, how can a husband hate his wife? How can a husband hate his wife? But the Bible is saying here, look, you can't, you know, how can you hate your body? So what this is saying is that for husbands, one has to be in a position where whatever it is, don't worry, we'll talk about the women next week. So today is the husband. It's saying whatever it is, no matter how you're feeling, no matter how, it says, don't allow hatred to come into your heart with your wife. And for some men, it's like, look, that woman is always harassing me. I don't like her. In fact, I hate her. No, you can't do that. The Bible says, guard yourself so you don't do that. And it says we should love our wives and not hate them and treat them with honor. All right? Now, the other thing as well, on that loving our wives, the Christian husband loving his wife, I want us to look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, and give me the King James Version. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says something very interesting there. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Are we there? It says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them, talking about the wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers will not be hindered. Now, the Bible is saying something here. It's saying here that we should, one, husbands should dwell with their wives according to knowledge. He now goes on to say that women are the weaker vessel. Now, when he says weaker vessel, it doesn't mean inferior in strength. It just means that women are more emotional than men. That's the way women have been made by God. Men are not as emotional as women. Women are emotional. That's how God has made them. But he says something here. that we should dwell, husbands, Christian husbands should dwell with their wives according to knowledge, knowing that God has made women in a particular way. I remember one pastor was saying that he woke up in the morning. No, someone told him, well, someone came to mention that. I mean, this husband came to him and is like, man, I'm really confused. And what happened? He said he woke up with his wife. The kids went to school. They said goodbyes. They had breakfast and all that. And he went to work and he came back. And as he came back, his wife just came to him at the door and said, you know what? Let's say his name is John. Is there any John here? He says, John, I know you don't love me. You've never loved me since the day you married me. In fact, I don't think you love me anymore. And said all sorts of things to the guy. And the guy was now wondering and saying, hang on. Did this happen between when I left home and when I came back? Because I can't remember what has happened between then. And the pastor laughed and called the wife. And at the end of the day, do you know what the wife was saying? This guy needs to give me more attention. That's what she wanted to say. But when she expressed it, she made it in such a way that if you're a third party, you would have thought that this guy hates his wife. But what she was actually trying to say was that I need you to spend more time with me. That's it. But when she expressed it, she said, this guy, you hate me. You've never even loved me. But that's not really what she's saying. What she's saying is, Mr. Husband, I need you to sit down and spend some more time with me. Do you understand? So, why are you guys looking at me like that? So, the Bible says that we need to deal, Christian husbands need to deal with their wives according to knowledge. Do you understand? So, that means your wife might express certain things in a particular way. You need to sit back and say, okay, what is she really saying? In fact, one preacher was saying that husbands have to pray for the gift of word of knowledge for their wives because it's true, so that men can really understand what's going on in the minds of women, their wives. So this is saying that for the husband, you need to study your wife and pray that God will give you wisdom so that when she expresses herself, you can understand what she's truly saying or what she means, rather than what she's saying. Do you get what I mean? You know, it's different. All right? So the Bible says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Amen. Now, the other thing as well that I want to mention this morning, which is the third thing, is men and their extended family, men and their parents. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 verses 24. No, Genesis chapter 2 verse 24. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So we've looked at the fact that men, the Christian husband should provide leadership, should love his wife. The third thing we're looking at is this. Notice that this Bible passage did not say the woman would leave her home or leave and cleave. It's talking to the man. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because as a Christian husband, you need to realize that once you get married, although you honor your parents, your brothers and your sisters, your family comes first. Because there's the tendency, because it's not necessary, it's talking about men. So the thing is this for men is, when men get married, for some reason, their parents, I'll remove their father because dads, most especially their mothers, the men's mothers, almost get married into that family as well. So what that means is this. There's almost like a tension. It's almost like the man is in the middle. You've got your wife and your family, they have their needs. and you've got your family who you love so much and they've got their needs. How do you balance it? Who gets the money first? Who gets it first? Is it the immediate family or the... So that's the tension that men, husbands face. I don't think wives per se face that too much, but it's mostly the husband. And the thing is this, the man has to ask God for wisdom to deal with his parents and his extended family so that he can realize this man, the Christian man, that the truth of the matter is this. God says we honor our parents and, you know, care about our siblings, but the day you got married, your wife and your kids became your priority. Your wife and your kids take priority over your mother, your father, your brothers, and your sisters, even though you still love them. Do you understand what I mean? So it's a very difficult relationship to manage sometimes. And I mean, in a lot of the stories that we hear, you never hear the father-in-law and this is just old wives' tales. This is not Bible. I'm just speaking. You never hear like the father-in-law having issues with the wife. It's usually the mums of the man. I'm telling you, it's usually the mums. I mean, I remember we're back in London. I mean, I'd been married for about 15 years. We're in West London. Our church, this church in London is in the southeast. So during the week, maybe Wednesdays, instead of coming back to West London, I'll just go straight to the southeast and I won't get back till maybe like 12 or 1 in the night, you know, traveling down. And my mom was visiting us, you know, staying with us from abroad. And I entered the house at about 1 in the morning. And my mom was there. I said, "Mom, what are you doing? I mean, why are you not asleep?" "Ah," she said, "she was waiting for me to come back home." I said, "Mom, I'm grown." I said, "Mom, I'm grown up." You know what I mean? Just that. So when I'm saying my dad, huh, like, he's like, "I don't even want to talk to you. Put my grandchildren on the phone, please." So that's even a good tension. It's like your mom cares about you. Or there's a challenge that as the man, your mom has a slight animosity towards your wife. Because as far as your mom is concerned, that woman has taken her little husband from her. Oh, yes. So what am I saying? It's just that tension. What the Bible is saying here is that as a Christian husband, you need to manage things in such a way, realizing that your family, your immediate family, takes priority first, whilst you still honor your parents, you still honor your, you know, you still help your brothers and sisters when you can, but your family, your immediate family takes priority from what the Bible says. All right. Now, the last thing I'm going to look at today. Okay. The last thing I'm going to look at is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. That for the Christian husband, you have the role and the responsibility to protect your family from the, what I'll call, from the elements, so to speak. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour." So, as a man, you're almost like, as a Christian husband, you're almost like the pastor in your house. Your antenna should be up, which means you're keeping an eye spiritually on your kids, on your wife, on what is going on around. So, if, for example, I mean, basically you're protecting your family. So if you sense that anything is happening or something comes up, you should be aware of it and you should deal with it. And your family should know Your kids should know that, look, if there's anything, you're going to support them. You're going to be there for them to the end, so to speak. I remember a long time ago, this was when we, I think our son, so I remember in their school then, it was, I think, nursery school or something, it must have been about four or so. So at that time, they were showing them, there are some films that they were showing as, in quote, part of educational films. And one of those films was one of these like really magical films that I just thought, look, you know, no, I don't want them watching this thing. So we sat down, four-year-old boy, we sat down and he said, you know, I told him, you know, in this house, this is what we think about this. And he agreed. And I said, okay, tomorrow I'll come to your school. He said, yes, I should come. I don't think he remembers all this, by the way. And I went to the school because he told me that, look, if he says he doesn't want to stay in the class, his teacher is not going to let him, that they will force him to stay in the class. I said, you know what, I'll be in the school tomorrow. He said, yeah, I should come. Went to the school, sat down with the teachers. They called the head teacher and I said, we thank you very, political correctness, thank you very much. You've been really supportive of our kids, you know, they're doing. However, there's this film that they're watching. We think it's witchcraft a bit. For our faith, we don't. Can he step out of the class when they're having it? And they looked shocked. And I said, oh, we're not teaching them any witchcraft here. I said, I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying that for us, this young man is not going to be there when you're doing it. So, and they accepted. So he knew right from there that if anything goes on, I'm there. Do you understand what I mean? So what am I saying? I'm saying that for the Christian husband, we can't just fold our arms and let things be going on around and all those things. No. We have to give proper direction. Or someone's son comes. I mean, your son that you brought up, you just suddenly see him. He comes home from school one evening and his trousers are here and he's walking like this. And he's walking like that. And as a father, you just say, oh, no. You tell him, rewind and stand here. It's true. Rewind and stand here. And I'll say, have you ever seen my trousers? Where are my trousers? Where did you? It might sound like, oh, what's the big deal? It's true. We don't just let it go. No. You will not do that. So what am I saying here? I'm just saying that as a Christian husband, we have a role to play. And God is available to help us to perform this role, to give us the knowledge that we need, to give us the wisdom that we need. Amen. We're just going to pray this morning.